I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Disasters, and
eventually the end of the world. Are you serious? Welcome to the weekend edition of the Are You Serious show. I am surrounded by Jeff Deal, Steve Robles, and Diana Brown, as per usual, or per frequently.
We have you surrounded, are you?
I am all surrounded, and I gotta say that I eat animals.
You eat animals.
Today is Earth Day, although when people are listening to this, it will.
I have to say that animals eat me on occasion.
Yeah, I've been with a few animals of that sort as well.
you dogs, you.
Nasty. Even though I think...
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Thank goodness, a voice of reason cutting through the treacle.
So I've never been, factory farming is obviously pretty atrocious, but I've never been able to get to really worked up about it. So the question today is, how should we treat animals, and is there any grounds whatsoever for any morality about it, or do we just assume dominion, it says in the Bible, over the creatures?
I've got a very simple answer for you.
Tempered by the Torah with
you
must
have
be nice
a
to
simple
them.
Answer?
I've got a very simple answer. Yeah. Usually they're very Machiavellian,
convoluted.
But no, how should we treat them? Medium well is how.
Medium well, yeah.
A clean grill is what you're saying.
Have you guys seen the movie Fast Food Nation?
I have not seen Fast Food Nation, but I did see the
When
Animal Attacks video on Tenzin Muggies. first, tell us about Fast Food Nation, if you saw.
Oh, yeah. I was actually impressed. I didn't expect much from it, because the way it was described didn't really appeal to me. Like, it's one of these movies taken from a nonfiction book, but then it's fictionalized.
Yeah.
Kind of like...
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not a great film, but it's... It's definitely interesting, and it was co-written by the guy who wrote the book, so they got a lot of the key information into the film, and I just thought it was really impressive that they actually have extensive footage from slaughterhouses.
Yes.
Right.
And because that's not stuff that you will...
That'll be hard to take, actually.
And it's extended, It's like you're watching it for quite a while, and
a vegetarian?
No, but not me personally, but, it's moved me
a
little bit.
Don't take anything personally.
Not that film,
nothing
but
applies to me.
Well,
it's moved me enough to try to convince other meat eaters to be vegetarian.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was Slaughterhouse 5 about a slaughterhouse?
No, it was about the war, actually.
Well, the point Jeff brings up is what John Oswald said in 1793, that he would definitely believe we'd see a rise in vegetarianism if more of us had to actually witness the death of our T-bone steak.
Actually, 1794, when people did more people, more people did witness it, actually, so that's maybe evidence that he's wrong.
There you go.
push comes to shove.
Well,
needing a little protein.
Women used to be considered chattel. Well, women and livestock were on par, and actually, often livestock was considered more valuable. But women
not
were
not as tasty.
But not as well. It depends on how you cook it, I guess.
And not as easy to brand either.
Well, it's going to become irrelevant. Well, actually, okay. There's two possibilities, right?
We're going to go on the biotech food thing.
No, it's kind of biotech. Growing meat in a lab. It's real meat. It's the same as any other meat. Meat tissue, except that it didn't require an animal, except for one to, get the initial thing going, I guess. But you don't have to, there's no growing the animal. It's just the meat. And also you can take all the bad stuff out of it and replace it with the healthy kind of fat,
my turn to do it. Yeah, right. Thing.
No, but it's
I'll,
there. It
I'll
actually
see it
exists.
When I believe it.
You won't like it unless it's from the hook.
Well, it's not, it's not a, it's, it's doable. It's just what on what scale, you know. It's not an affordable way. I mean, it's not an affordable alternative on any kind.
But that's different than saying. I mean, the technology itself has been demonstrated.
Maybe I mean they can make it, get it to make copies of itself, and we'll be.
Well, that's the other thing to think about.
We'll be drowning in meat,
self-replicating
meat. If we create super intelligent machines before we create
super intelligent
self-replicating meat.
If that happens, then what you know? There's one theory that the superior intelligence that we create is going to look at us
as meat.
No. They don't need to eat meat, but they're going to look at us and judge whether we deserve to exist or not. Like, do we bother keeping these relics around? And one of the things that they might judge us on is how we treated lesser creatures.
Not just the meat-making animals, but the animal-to-meat animals, but like with the Great Ape Project, where there's an organization that is trying to get the UN to include the great apes, chimps,
right,
gorillas, right, exactly, to be included as part of the moral community, and to
what moral community?
Well, that's the point that I was going to make. Do we have one of those? But they want to give them the three basic, you know, interests: the right to life, the individual liberty, and the prohibition of torture. And this is, people are taking this quite seriously.
Right to eat burgers.
Right, and the right to eat burgers.
Wait, but
while doing it.
Don't great apes kill each other?
Well, now there you go. And chimps do too. So,
fucking animals.
They are all part of our lineage, after all. I mean, we should find kind animals only to be kind to.
No, we should start eating apes.
Well, they already eat apes.
I'm quite aware
they get
of that.
All of the apes in Africa get consumed.
If my house cat were the same size as me, it would eat my head. I mean,
now, if anybody ate my cat, I would get really upset. But if anybody could eat my pussy, and I would be no.
Here's what gets me about it is, like, that's a perfect example, because you wouldn't eat your cat, but believe me, if your cat was 12 feet fucking long,
it would eat you.
And not only that, it would rip off your limbs first. I mean, a cat is perfect example, because so many of us have and love cats as pets,
right.
And these things would not hesitate for a second. And once the kibble was gone, you'd be next.
That's true. I haven't heard more about. I guess they do eat cats in some parts. I've seen them drawn up in markets.
Cats are pretty strange meat, man. It's
cats
not very
or whatever.
It's like you say,
it's like rat. Oh my god! Check this out.
I didn't realize you were so experienced in exotic foods.
Oh, he's eating a lot of pussy. I got a second time.
You're just gonna get that out of your system now, aren't you?
I'm gonna use that joke till the end of the show.
Speaking of exotic meats.
Oh my.
Paul Mooney, the comedian Paul Mooney, was on the Howard Stern show this week, and he was saying one of the signs of the apocalypse was that rats are now mating with squirrels in Central Park. And creating some, like, new species.
They're actually having
them.
Or are they just humping them?
I mean, he's a comedian, so he could have been bullshitting, but like...
I think so.
Yeah, you think so? But imagine that kind of,
like, you know, sex among friends, or were they actually coming up with a new species, is our question.
So before we leave behind the question of animals, Jeff did post a piece on 10 Zen Monkeys, which showed animals attacking humans, which took me a while to want to watch. this isn't going to be fun. And then I watched it, and it was hilarious. And maybe we enjoy seeing the animals take vengeance.
It was
on
reporters.
Us.
It was specific
reporters. Yes. Yeah.
Which is always funny because they're asking for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I don't know by where you guys grew up, but where I grew up, they had a thing called Lion Country Safari, where you would drive your fucking car through, like, you know, a bunch of goddamn wildlife that would
stay
otherwise
in the car
rip you into shreds. And I don't know if they had it in the East Coast, although I did see it in The Omen.
I had one near me.
Well, in Florida, of course, man. That's called highway whatever.
Alligator Alley.
Yeah.
If you guys were out in the country, did anybody do cow tipping? Because I just read somewhere that was all bullshit about cow tipping.
A cow.
Boy,
like
that explains a lot from my childhood, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Bullshit cow.
Yeah.
Really?
Now you're gonna tell me. Next thing you're gonna tell me is cow fucking is a. It's not an urban myth, but, you know, it would be a rural myth.
So anyway, moving on to our political discussion for the weekend edition. It is only a week since the Virginia Tech incident, and one thing that people will start talking about now, and we'll be talking about for a long time to come, is gun control. And I'm kind of two minds, and if you put a bullet through the middle of my fontanelle, I would be of three minds or more. Is this anything to worthy of discussion? You know, something bad happens, then people look for something to blame.
Well, you know, he did. Speaking of Cho, he
got an
purchased
illegal
his
gun.
Guns. Well, he purchased them within the letter of the law, actually.
Oh, I just heard that they were illegal.
Well, actually. He lied. He lied and said that he had not been committed to a mental institution.
Yeah, that would have had a bit of an impact on
him. Are
well,
you crazy?
Wait a minute. Here's
what
the thing.
What kind of question is that?
Here's the thing.
What kind of system is that?
I'm seeing a little bit of a like Minority Report theme coming up in the way people are talking about this in the media. It's kind of like, can we start arresting people before they commit a crime somehow?
Yeah, that's a lot of knee-jerk bullshit that's, you know, hopefully people are going to be able to think through, because
I just don't like these any time there's like a big movement to change a whole bunch of shit based on one incident.
On an incident,
and
sure.
I realize there's been more than one. Okay, there's been a bunch of school shootings, but when you look at the statistically, these things don't even really happen. I mean, it's like, it doesn't register. The number of days that...
It's just dramatic. It doesn't...
It's dramatic and it's emotional, but, like, it's not really something to base
not
public
to worry
policy
about
on.
That much as an individual.
And it's not much to worry about, yeah. Right. It really isn't.
On the other hand, I mean, the people who are really, like, anti-gun control, like, have this myth that, oh, yeah, if everybody was packing heat, you know, and I really, like, try to picture everybody, like, going
see,
to their college class. With
there is a town where it's a law.
That's fucking childish, though.
And it's called the Kennesaw Law, and in the town of Kennesaw, Georgia, there was a law enacted in 1982 that...
you have to.
That requires all head of household to own a gun.
Well, no, it's a law in, where is it, Sweden? Switzerland?
Which really? Yeah, one of those countries.
All those every house has to have a rifle.
See, what's funny is I actually hear a lot of, like, strong voices on, like, some of these, you know, media outlets saying that, even though I can... understand that.
No, you look around the web, and you know, certainly in the libertarian areas and stuff like that. It's, oh yeah, if everybody been packing heat,
and it's difficult picture, to argue with that.
No,
you know?
I was trying to picture being a professor in a college class, you know, where, you know, several of the students have a gun.
Well, they want
there.
The professors to be armed.
Yeah. You know,
they want the professors too, especially the professors.
Yeah.
In all this confusion over my lesson on Chaucer, I think I've forgotten if I had five rounds in my barrel. Well, you know what, punk? I've forgotten too. but I mean, how can you deny that? I mean, the numbers of it is that somebody would have been like. Eventually, like, I consider myself a big pussy, but if I'd have had a gun, I think I would have probably maybe tried to stop.
Well, that's what Chris
the likelihood that you would have had it in.
Chris Crock of Atlanta's WSB Radio came right out and said, without guns, the students were sitting ducks, and that if someone had had a gun, somebody would have taken him out.
Well, I don't know about that so much.
I don't
like
know that
somebody
I agree,
actually
though.
Taking out a gun and solving this whole problem once and for all, but. If you think about certain things about the way society is today and way it's understood, including by crazy people, at least, you know, before they go totally nuts. Take video games, for instance, like, you know, the Vice City shit. I mean, the whole basis of why that's fun is that you've got guns and nobody else does, pretty much. Like, you can go up to people, shoot them, blam, blam, blam. And you then think about a person who's kind of like in the margins, like they're not quite... They're ready to maybe hit a tipping point, but they're not quite there. And they still have a little bit of rationality left. Right. Part of that rationality tells them nobody else is armed. You really do have nothing but targets all around you. If, when they still had some of that rationality left, there was a little bit of it saying, actually, a lot of people have guns.
Yeah.
You might might throw you back in the other direction and not make
this
you
is
go
why
nuts.
Some
yeah, but these people all wanted to die. I mean, they could try to take
out
as many
people.
Yeah,
but the question is, how did they get to that point of wanting to die? And when there was a time where they could have gone one way or the other, what were the factors that kept them from going
Well, this is why some people say this stuff doesn't happen in the fucking ghetto, because if you're going to go and do this at like the fucking swap meet down in Gardena, you're going to get two shots off before like,
well,
yeah, you're
it does happen in the ghetto. It's just that it's not generally by someone who's a psychotic nut. It's done for some other, you know.
Well, but you're talking about shooting spree rampage. So, I mean, you would never actually know if somebody had intended to do that because he'd have gotten his fucking ass blown off before he'd ever gotten, like, more than one or two away.
I kind of agree with the logic. If society is structured a certain way and there's a lot of pressure, the pressure's going to go where, you know, the path of least resistance. And if it's pressure in your head, you need vengeance. Like, you need fucking eternal justice and you're angry. Yeah, and what's the easiest way to get
that? You're
going
to go to the shooting. You're going to go to a shopping mall versus like the where the cops hang.
Yeah, you're not going to go to the police headquarters.
That's good. Yeah. Yes.
If you're looking for maximum rampage, yeah, you're not going to go to the Dunkin' Donuts.
You want targets, right?
Some people think that, okay, well, if you can drive a car at 16, why, and you have to take classes and pass a test to do that, well, perhaps handguns should be handed out at 16, too. And I'm not saying that's my position, but I think it's a really
interesting
point.
Actually, it's harder to get a driver's license than it is to get a gun.
It is harder to get a driver's license than it is to get a gun. And maybe if, you know, we were taught from a very early age to use them, respect them, and defend ourselves with.
I mean, the one thing
that's a point people have brought up.
One thing I respect about gun rights is basically I don't want to be a victim,
right?
You know? And if somebody else has a gun and I don't, it's
you wish you had a gun.
Yeah, and then it's between me and the authorities. I have to ask the authorities to defend me rather than being able to defend myself. I think that's, you know, one of the valid arguments.
Sure, and if you live like way the hell out in the woods and there are actually animals around that might come and eat your head, then
oh, we're back to animals.
What if you live in New York and there's lots of animals that are about to?
I bet a lot of those folks.
On the other hand, these people who are actually serious about suggesting that we should give everybody guns are pretty ridiculous, because they're assuming they almost suggest that, yeah, let's just hand out guns right now. But realistically, this society is not, you know, equipped to deal with guns psychologically. Like Diana was saying, you need to be trained from an early age. You can't be giving these idiot teenagers now guns and thinking that they're going to be able to protect themselves or anybody else. Yeah. And yet they do. In the same breath, I heard this one woman, this conservative kook on Fox, in the same breath say violence is just out of control. These kids are inundated with violent images and they're ready to blow. And in the very
give
same breath she said, give everybody guns. Yeah. They all had guns. I'm like,
there's the solution.
And how quickly would they be at her door? It's a matter of having a healthy amount of respect for it. I mean, you can kill as many people with a car if you're intent on doing so as you can
not
with a gun.
Not as easily with cars.
Well, it depends if you run out of gas or bullets first, I think.
But, I mean, it is a kind of intimidation, isn't it? I mean, if generally when we walk down to the neighborhood store, or whatever, depending on what neighborhood we live in, I guess, we don't assume that everybody's sitting around with a gun in their pocket. And there's a certain amount of intimidation involved there if you think people are, you know, Steve, if you got a gun with you, I'm not going to say certain things to you that I might otherwise say, you know.
No, that's true.
You know, the coercion runs both ways.
I mean, I have to admit, I grew up in Arizona.
Having a gun.
Shotguns on the gun rack driving around town, and you're going to be less likely to flip that guy off than you are somebody in a Porsche.
I saw an Easy Rider.
Love is the only weapon. Shit! Are you serious?